Support for the morning show comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, a unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe. Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. Support for the morning show also comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information is available at carthage.edu/grad. And we welcome you to the Friday morning show. Time flies when you're having fun. The Friday morning show on WGTDHD, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg, and I am certainly delighted to have across the table from me today Chancellor Deborah Ford from the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, Gateway's very friendly neighbors right to the north of us. And these are exciting days for the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, a school that is flourishing in a number of very exciting ways. And we're going to be talking today on the morning show about the UW system-wide strategic plan heading for the year 2020 and some of the hopes and dreams which the UW system has in these challenging and crucial times for our state and country. We'll also be talking about a building project that is on the boards for UW Parkside, some new programs and degrees that have been approved there, and we'll talk about what might be ahead for Parkside. Also with us in the studio today is John Mielke, who is Director of Strategic Communications at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. And John has been very helpful to me over the last year or so. Actually, I forget, how long have you been at Parkside?
I'm working on 16 years,
Greg. Holy cow.
I know.
But you've had to, you've taken over some of what was done by somebody else in terms of directing towards me ideas for morning shows, and it's been so helpful to me over the last couple of years. So I'm glad to have you here as well. So Chancellor Ford, we welcome you back to the morning show. It's great to have you here.
Well, Greg, thank you so much for giving us time to talk about all the great and exciting things happening at UW Parkside, and it's always a pleasure to be on your show, and we really appreciate you inviting our faculty and staff as well. And so I'm happy to be here today to talk about what's happening not only at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, but certainly with UW System as we really work to educate this next generation of learners and leaders across our state.
Very good. So it's a lively time for anybody who works at a college, of course, with a new school year about to begin. I think Parkside and Carthage both begin classes next Wednesday, whatever date that is. So what's going on at Parkside at the moment in preparation for all that?
Well, of course, it's an exciting time for higher education, and everybody is in that back-to-school mode. And what I like to say is everybody is gearing up across our campus. So we've already welcomed back our student-athletes. They have started their competition this weekend, and some teams are on the road, some teams are at home. On Labor Day, we actually will welcome our newest students who will be living on campus with us. And then we have a series of activities planned on Tuesday of next week called Ranger Welcome. We want to make sure that they have the best experience getting started and have a chance to get to know each other. And this is welcoming the class of 2020. Those students who start with us, they'll graduate in 2020, and we're excited about that. And then next Wednesday, September 7th, we will start our fall semester, and really looking forward to having our students back on campus. And I know our faculty are ready. We celebrated our opening convocation on Wednesday of this week, and we're excited, really ready for another real amazing year at UW-Parkside.
So how many students are enrolled at Parkside at the moment?
So our enrollment is about where it was last year, so we anticipate 4,600 students. We actually have new student orientation for a few additional freshmen and transfer students today. And we are still accepting applications. I know that many of the institutions here are partners here at Gateway Technical College as well as Carthage. And certainly at UW-Parkside, we still have some room in some classes. So it's never too late to start that dream of earning that degree. So check us out.
You mentioned the fact that you are welcoming your freshmen who are going to be living on campus. And, of course, some of us who've lived here a while remember the days when essentially nobody lived at Parkside. I should, but that when you came and became chancellor, were there already dorms in place?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It was Chancellor Guskin, the second chancellor for the university, that had a dream to have campus housing, and so he created the UW Parkside Foundation, who helped to finance the building of the university apartments. And that was in the mid-80s. And then in the mid-90s, we added Ranger Hall to our housing portfolio. And then in 2009, we opened Pike River Suites. And so we really have the best of all opportunities for students, traditional campus housing, suite-style living, and then the apartment style. And we have between about 850 students who will call 900 Wood Road home this semester. And we already have about a third of the students already moved in. International students and student athletes and student leaders arrived over the month of August, and they're already getting settled and ready to welcome our new students back on Monday.
Very good. When I drive past those dorms and apartments, I always think about what a gorgeous view that must be of that lovely wooded area in which Parkside is nestled. It makes me really anxious to sneak into one of those buildings one of these days and just check out what they look like.
Well, you have an open invitation. We'll give you a tour. and you know, we're right next to Petrifying Springs Park.
Right.
So the location is ideal, and wonderful trails and wonderful opportunities to enjoy the environment.
Very good. We're going to get to the strategic plan that I know you're anxious to talk about, but I think actually people would really be interested to hear a little bit about kind of the physical plant of Parkside, and the fact that one of the things you're really excited about, hopeful for, crossing your fingers about, is a much needed renovation of Wiley Hall, which is one part of your beautiful facility there. And it's really interesting. I think for a lot of us, when we picture Parkside, we picture a brand spanking new building. I mean, because really at a glance, it looks so new and is so timeless also. I mean, I think some buildings built in that era look old. They look like they belong to another time, and I don't think Parkside looks like that at all. That being said, sort of beneath the walls, there are some issues that need to be taken care of. Can you talk about that?
Sure. And first, I want to say that in 2014, the university completed its 20-year master plan, and we also completed a space utilization study. And so this allows us to look out 20 years and what's needed in order to have the appropriate learning environment for our students. And one of the projects that was a part of that process was certainly Wiley Hall and the infrastructure needs. And I like to say that the work that's going to happen in Wiley Hall this year is things that you can't necessarily see, but you know when they're not working. So the campus master plan, calls for renovation and upgrade of many of our facilities, and Wiley Hall is the one in most need. There's some infrastructure things that are happening in terms of the steam pipes, and again, it's small leaks, but once we start to have issues, we're very concerned that we'll have more. The project was actually approved by the Board of Regents in the 2015-17 biennium, but it was not funded through the state budget process. So we remain on the list. The good news is in the UW system that you're on the list. And the Board of Regents approved this project again for the 2017-19 biennial budget. And we are very hopeful that it will be funded through the state process. One of the challenges, and I know many readers may have seen in the paper, is that the cost of the project has actually increased. Our concern is that the cost of not doing something is the real challenge here. So we're very hopeful. And along with this, and when you're going to have to be behind the walls, we want to also move some walls in order to create a learning commons and to enhance student services for our students. And at UW Parkside, 60% of the students are first in their family to go to college. And the way that Wiley Hall was constructed in the early 70s is not serving really today's student. And so we want to modernize some of the offices and spaces where students gather and where they learn. And so we are very hopeful that this project will be funded and have the really, just like it's had this long life now, really enhance the function of the building.
Mm-hmm. I really got a little education from you and John Mielke this morning because, you know, as I explained to you in asking you about this, that when one walks through the big concourse that takes you from one end to the other of the main building of Parkside, you pass through Molinaro Hall and Wiley Hall and Greenquist Hall and so on. But it feels like one building because of that wonderful wide concourse, which takes you from one end of the facility to the other. But you were explaining that, in fact, these are actually discrete, separate buildings connected by this concourse. And that's why it makes sense then to look at particular buildings where there are particular issues that, and in this case, need to be rather urgently addressed.
Right. And so Wiley Hall is the project now. And many of the listeners will remember and hopefully have visited and been a part of events in the Rita Talent Pickin Regional Center for Arts and Humanities. We were fortunate to have funding from the state and completed that project in 2012. Also, our student center has been renovated, and those are sort of the two anchor buildings of the main part of our campus. That was reopened in 2009. And now our sights are set on the renovation and infrastructure work in Wiley Hall. Following that will be some changes to both Greenquist and Molinaro Hall. And then, of course, we have our Sport and Activity Center and Talent Hall and our physical plant buildings that also serve on our main campus. So what I agree with you, Greg, beautiful campus and beautiful learning environment.
It really is. And I especially love, I think Wiley Hall is where the library is. And also that big open area with the tall ceiling-to-floor glass. I mean, that's just one of the most spectacular places in all of southeastern Wisconsin, in my opinion. So that's the portion that needs the attention. And you were saying that's actually not the oldest part of that main building.
Right. Well, Greenquist Hall is the oldest building. But yeah. Wiley Hall is, as you said, home of the library, as well as the archives. Main place is this beautiful space that you've described. We have Upper Main, Middle Main, and Lower Main. And one of the things is it's not accessible like we would like. So it is, but it's through lifts. And we want to modernize that and make it accessible for all of our visitors, students, faculty, and staff. We also have our student services offices, financial aid, the Bursar,
the
registrar.
But some of those are tucked down
right.
in the dark there, aren't
right.
they?
Right, exactly. And so we want to bring those areas out and create a more cohesive area for student learning.
Yeah. So is there a plan in place? I mean, like what you hope will happen, is that already designed?
Absolutely. And so as part of the master planning project and as part of the request to have this approved by the Board of Regents and then by the state, we have architectural drawings, concepts, and what we would like to have. And all of that is really ready to go. We're just hoping that'll be included in the state budget this year.
So waiting for the money. Assuming the money comes through, what is the timeline then? I mean, when would construction presumably begin?
That, I don't know that particularly, but I would say that if approved, the governor usually signs the next biennial budget in July. So that would be July of 17. So probably the planning would continue, the architectural drawings. There's several phases of that process, and then the hiring of contractors. So it would probably be sometime late 18, early 19, because that's a pretty long process. And this is a complex project because we would be living in the building while we're also renovating to be able to serve our students.
Right. Well, as what happened with some of Rita, some of Rita is brand new space, but a lot of it was drastically transformed space that was already there. And somehow the theater and music and art departments had to continue functioning somehow through all of that.
Absolutely. I'm so proud of our faculty and staff for their willingness to cooperate. And we had to move classes. We had to move activities. But it was well worth that. And the other thing I want to point out is you talked about earlier the how beautiful Utopia Parkside is. And that's the strength of our team at Parkside. Our folks in facility services and our custodial services, they have made sure that our campus just sparkles. Washed every window inside and out, and it is just beautiful, and they take such pride, and it shows.
It really does. I absolutely agree. John Mielke, as she was talking about the process and thinking about when is this going to happen, I saw you nodding. You've been part of the UW system long enough to know that one of the beauties of being part of a statewide system is all that that means collaboratively, but part of what being part of a statewide system also means there are certain processes that must happen, and they don't happen instantly.
They don't, and it is state property. They are state buildings, and it's important, I think, as not only someone who works at UW Parkside, but as a Wisconsin resident, that we do a good job taking care of those buildings. We've invested in them a fair amount of money to have those, and one of the things that when Chancellor Ford alluded to the facilities people, they will tell you that when Greenquist, Molinaro, Wiley, when those buildings were built, they were built well, and that is what allows those buildings to continue to be very functional, very as you mentioned, almost modern looking, like
really?
they fit into today, and it's because of the investment that was made 40 years ago. So what we're doing now is to be able to protect that investment and keep that investment in great working order. So then we get into the other issue where UW System right now is working on some flexibilities in the working with the legislature to be able to streamline some of those construction projects. So that if there is something on campus that needs to be done, there are a number of steps that need to be taken right now through the state, and being able to help us be a little bit more nimble when any campus in the UW system needs to add a building or to have projects that maintain a current building.
To be nimble,
nimble's a good thing.
And we don't think about that too often when it comes to the turning wheels of government. But it makes sense to not do things too quickly, but too slowly. I mean, as you've already pointed out, you are bearing the cost of the delay just in terms of money, let alone the severity of certain problems or the potential for something a little more major to go wrong. So this is something that needs to happen.
There's two other projects that are happening that might be of interest to your listeners. The state is helping us to do some much-needed repairs to the pool in the Sport and Activity Center. Oh. So I know some folks are like, when's the pool coming back online? They continue their work and to make some much-needed repairs. And again, it's things you may not see when the pool is functioning, but some things that are essential to have completed. And then we're very fortunate to have state support in renovating two existing chemistry laboratories to create an integrated science and learning space. Oh. And so that project is well on its way. It has been funded through the state building process, and they're in the process of reviewing bids, and hopefully construction on that space will begin this fall. And we are so excited to be able to have enhanced science space for our students at UW Parkside.
Terrific. For those of you just joining us, we're speaking today on The Morning Show with Chancellor Deborah Ford and also with John Mielke, who is Director of Strategic Communications at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. We've been talking about a major renovation project that is on the boards. It has been approved by the Regents, and it just awaits inclusion in the budget for the state. But it is hoped that this project, which was already approved for the last cycle 2 years ago by the Regents, but not part of the state budget, it is hoped fervently that it's going to be part of the money this time around, and so that work can go forward. I know that something else that's quite exciting is that Parkside has approved a number of different degrees and programs and so on. And first of all, it's exciting to think about this occurring at a time when, in some respects at least, the UW system is experiencing a little bit of a sense of constriction. I mean, obviously, it's no no secret that these have been really challenging times fiscally. Can you just say, before we get into the specifics, just say a word about how it's even possible to think about creating new programs and so on in an environment where money is not especially plentiful? I'm just curious about the philosophy behind it.
Well, first of all, it is based on and a result of the quality of our faculty at UW-Parkside and their commitment to innovation and commitment to alignment of what the regional needs are here. And so I really do applaud our faculty and staff at the university under the leadership of our deans and provost. They created new program offerings that really do resonate and meet the regional needs here across southeastern Wisconsin, northern Illinois, and really beyond because we have students from around the world at UW-Parkside.
So in a sense, what we're talking about is, and I don't mean to minimize what's being done, but maybe just so we understand better, this is maybe best thought of as a reshaping of what is already offered, reshaping it, restructuring it. I mean, maybe in some cases transforming it into something that's even more relevant for the current day.
I would say some of the programs are definitely reshaping. Others are new opportunities in being responsive to what students have asked for. We've added in the past 2 years three master's programs. We've added some new education programs at the baccalaureate level. And then we have just added associate degree programs that will help students to complete that credential. And these associate degree programs are intended to be milestones along the pathway to a baccalaureate degree.
Hmm. So those are not those are not 4-year programs. Those are things that are a little more modest in scope.
Absolutely.
And maybe could be combined with something someone might do at Gateway or some other place, or I suppose even at Parkside maybe. Some kind of associate degree can lead to something else.
So. Absolutely, and we are so proud of our partnership here at Gateway Technical College. Dr. Albrecht and I signed two new articulation agreements this summer, one in criminal justice as a 2+2 and another one in communication, and I believe we have probably over 20 articulation pathways for students that start at Gateway Technical College and then enroll at UW-Parkside. And the 2-year degrees that we've added at UW-Parkside complement what is happening here at Gateway Technical College and, again, are milestones towards that baccalaureate degree. And I can name a few of those if you...
Sure, absolutely.
So the associate degrees are one in military and security studies. It was our students in the military expressed great interest in this particular topic. Another one in laboratory science in order to help those students that come in and take those lab science courses. Another one is an associate degree in physics, and that is designed for our students who are starting at UW-Parkside and then aspire to an engineering degree in our partnership with UW-Milwaukee. Financial economics is intended to align with the business degree, and students were interested in more than a minor in economics. They wanted that associate degree. One in professional studies, and the last one is in liberal studies and leadership. And so, Greg, one of the things our faculty and staff knew is that we have students at UW-Parkside that complete 45 credits without a degree and stop out. And they're not transferring to Gateway. They're not transferring to another institution. And with one more full-time semester, 15 more credits, they would be eligible for an associate's degree. And so we're really hoping to encourage those students who have some college and no degree to look at our new offerings, look at the partnerships that we have with Gateway Technical College, and see how they can earn that credential that creates opportunities for them.
That's great. I know that you just approved a new master's degree, and I should think that's a fairly big deal, right?
Yes, and one of the things I'm really excited about and that our faculty have talked about for several years is adding additional master's degree programs. And so we've added, and just recently the Board of Regents approved the master's in sport management. That program will actually officially launch next fall of 17, but there are courses available for students that might be interested in beginning that program. We also have a new master's program in health and wellness management, and that is a consortial degree program with other UW campuses, and it's completely online. And then one that was approved a year ago was the Master's in Sustainable Management. Again, another consortial degree program that's fully online in partnership with our other UW campuses. So, and we also have the MBA program at UW-Parkside that can be face-to-face, online, or in a consortial format, and also a Master of Science in Computer Information Systems and a Master's degree in Molecular Biology. So we're and that is something our community is asking for, and certainly something the university needs to provide.
That's great. Can you just say a quick word about these consortial online courses? Because I think that whole notion has really evolved quite a lot from some of the first examples. I don't mean at Parkside particularly, but wherever, that were maybe well-meaning, but not quite the full vibrant intellectual and academic experience that everybody wanted them to be. And I think now online courses are a whole different animal from what they once were. So just a brief word about what a student experiences when they are taking a course in this way.
So in terms of the online environment, I think learners are looking for different opportunities there. So, and some of our students will say that the online courses are actually more difficult than the face-to-face. Mm. But you can complete that anytime, anywhere, as long as you have a connection to the internet. The consortial aspect of our program, I think, is where we are leveraging the strengths of the University of Wisconsin as a system. And so we are offering some of the courses. Green Bay may be offering a few courses. UW La Crosse may be offering a few courses. So we're taking the strength and expertise of our faculty and saying, how do we best pull all the resources together to create this consortial degree program? And I think that's not only in light of some of the fiscal challenges that we face, but it's really focused on learners and how do we best leverage all the assets that we have.
Right. I mean, it makes tremendous sense on all kinds of different levels.
And I think it's, I'll go back to my nimble word, and you brought up the point of how do you do these things when you do have financial constraints, and it's looking at all your resources, and instead of just saying, well, we need a new program, we'll have to add this, how do you look at the resources you already have and say, okay, we have these resources, how can they be reshaped, refashioned into something that meets the needs of students, whether students be here at Parkside in southeastern Wisconsin or they be across the state, and those consortial programs and the things that have been added to the Parkside offering, I think are a great representation of that.
I like that. This brings to mind something that just aired yesterday. I don't remember the gentleman's name, but the author of a book about innovation. And one of the main points in his fascinating book is that we think of innovation as, oh, somebody invented this new thing or invented this new gadget or invented this new technology. And he says the best innovation reshapes and repurposes what already exists. I mean, you look at what's already there and shape them into something that serves you even better. And this is a really good example of that kind of innovation.
Absolutely. And I think innovation is so important to students today. And it's what employers and professional and graduate programs are looking for, students that are intellectually curious and willing to innovate and try new things. And so I think as our faculty and staff model that, it creates those opportunities and ways for students to think and do things.
For those of you just joining us, we have with us in the studio today Chancellor Deborah Ford from the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, joining her John Mielke, Director of Strategic Communication at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. We will finish up today by talking about something that I know you have poured a great deal of time and energy into, namely the 2020 Forward UW System Strategic Framework, Moving Wisconsin and the World Forward. First of all, I wonder if you can just say a word about, just in general, what it's like to be part of something like this. It's something that some people are wired to really enjoy and invest themselves in fully. And I know there are plenty of other people who feel like these kind of ventures are kind of a huge drain of time and energy that could be devoted to other things. I get the sense that you approach these tasks more the former than the latter.
Absolutely. And I was certainly honored to be asked by President Cross to serve on the strategic planning task force to help really not only shape the process, but also to review the information and from the listening sessions that we gathered, and to begin really to shape the strategic direction for the University of Wisconsin going forward. And I'm so pleased with how it's come together and the number of voices that were heard, and the process was comprehensive, it was inclusive, and I think provides a framework that will work not only for UW-Parkside, but for all of my colleagues across the UW system.
So describe what that process was like.
Well, the different parts of the process. Mm-hmm. So first of all, the strategic planning group, we certainly had several meetings and talked about how do we best understand what the citizens of Wisconsin are asking for from the university. And so we sponsored and hosted a series of listening sessions across the state. There were 27 public and institutional listening sessions, and these were made up of community members, business leaders, university faculty and staff, and students. And from that, we really heard what folks wanted the university to be doing, where they wanted the university to focus. But what most resonated with me is how many folks talked about their appreciation for the University of Wisconsin, not only today, but the past and going forward. Folks are proud of UW. Folks want the UW to be successful. And folks really appreciate what the University of Wisconsin does with and for the state. And that really resonated.
Well, and as somebody who's given so much of her life to it, that had to just make you feel good, even on simply a personal level.
That's right. And I think the other piece is a university does so many things. And that was probably one of the challenges of the process, is how do we take the data and what we're hearing from across the state and make sure that it meets the most pressing needs. And I believe that through the sifting and winnowing process, which is certainly core to what we do in the university, we came up with really four broad strategic goals or areas of focus, and then have some tactics that we hope to implement. And then I know at UW-Parkside, we are going to look to see how our strategic plan aligns with the UW Forward 2020, or 2020 Forward, I had it backwards, sorry about that, 2020 Forward. But I think there is great alignment, and this speaks to the importance of the university and how we align with the needs of the state.
When it comes to formulating especially the big goals, like the four main goals, which we'll allow you to delineate in a second, before we even get to that, I always think the challenge with something like this is coming up with goals that are truly meaningful, that are something beyond the obvious that we already all know, oh yeah, I mean, we're here to teach people and we're here to, you know, whatever. So in a sense, trying to come up with goals that are meaningful, that propel the university system to someplace even better, and yet not get so specific that you're trying to solve everybody's problems for them. I mean, I think that's one of the trickiest things about this, is to achieve exactly the right kind of balance in terms of what these big goals should be.
And I think the key, Greg, is that these are big goals. The University of Wisconsin as a system is very unique and diverse. There are the two research institutions, UW-Madison and UW-Milwaukee, the 13 four-year comprehensive institutions, of which UW-Parkside is one, the 13 two-year campuses across our state, and then certainly the extension network. And so providing this broad, big, and I would say focused approach to what we need to do, and we have to focus on where we are today, building on our past, looking to the future, and finding a plan and a set of opportunities that are focused on where the needs are today. And I think that's what 2020 Forward does for us. And it's not so specific, and I think it's broad enough to allow each of the institutions to meet the regional needs, the state needs, national needs, and certainly international touch that the University of Wisconsin has.
My understanding is that the first of those four big areas involves something that I don't think was talked about at all a few years ago, namely the educational pipeline. And, I mean, I bet at the time that Parkside was built, I'm guessing nobody had ever even heard that term. I could be wrong, but I sure don't remember even 20 years ago us talking about the educational pipeline. So as far as a school like the University of Wisconsin-Parkside is concerned, what is that pipeline, and what role does a school like Parkside need to play in the formation and maintenance and renovation of that pipeline?
Well, it's something I think that all of us in higher ed education are talking about. We want to increase and improve the access and success for all of our students. And for us at UW-Parkside, that means improving the retention and persistence and graduation of our students, creating opportunities for all of the citizens that desire to have a four-year degree or a two-year degree to go along that pathway. And I think when we think about the educational pipeline, it's how our partnerships with K-12 education, which we are very involved with, our partnerships with Gateway Technical College, our two-year partner, as well as our partnerships with Carthage College. And so how do we make this pipeline more seamless for our students? The other piece I would add is that as a nation, we have a big goal to have 60% of adults with some credential. And that from higher education. And so that continuation of learning post-high school. And that could be a certificate, an associate's degree, or a baccalaureate degree. Here in southeastern Wisconsin, ours is about 25%. And so as the needs of business and industry change, how do we make sure that employees of the future have the skills, have the education, and the knowledge that they need to really advance our economy, but also really inspire the quality of life that we desire. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of this educational pipeline, us working together.
Mm. So important. And it's still something, of course, everybody's already figuring out. But I should think that what you just outlined, for instance, the relationship between Parkside and Gateway and Carthage is like the paradigm. I mean, a model that probably a lot of other schools should be emulating. I mean, it just never ceases to amaze me how the relationship between these three schools are so friendly, so cooperative. I mean, you could be fierce competitors, and I suppose in some ways you are competitors, but much more than competitors, you are collaborators in a way that I just find so inspiring.
And I have to thank Greg at Carthage and Brian here at Gateway Technical College. His office is right across the hall from where we're sitting right now. And you're right, we are great collaborators, because what we want to do is create opportunities for students for higher learning. And that's what we try to do in our work together. And it's not just us. It's our campuses that are collaborating and creating opportunities and working together. And we're excited about that, and we will continue to do that. And I said you need to have the three of us on your show sometime so we can talk about the partnerships that we have.
That would be great fun.
Yes, we should definitely do that.
Absolutely.
Maybe you could extend the show to 2 hours.
Yeah,
I don't know. Just
one won't be enough. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we have three other big goals to talk about and not much time, I'm afraid. The second one was actually the one that where I had to try to read further, because it says the university experience. And, of course, that could mean a whole lot of different things. What is the heart and soul of what's at play there?
Well, I think the university experience is making sure that all students have the opportunity to have high-impact practices as part of their learning. And so that would be the cultural competencies, opportunities to study abroad. It could be the opportunity to do an undergraduate research project with a faculty member, community-based learning, opportunities to do some one-on-one or small group work with faculty members. It's really that core university experience. And very proud of what we're doing in this regard at UW-Parkside, but we want to make sure that all students across the UW have these opportunities.
So beyond the standard classroom, in other words, I mean, that their learning experience involves much more than that.
Absolutely. That's the key aspect of that particular goal, and those high impact learning practices that really enhance the learning opportunities. Right. Internships is another key one in this area.
Hmm. And it brings to mind the third big goal, which involves business and community mobilization. And I should think this is also a case in which you can be very proud of the way in which UW Parkside has been a leader in this respect.
That's right. And in terms of what we're doing at UW Parkside, the partnerships that we have with our business and community leaders continues to grow. And we're meeting with our partners to create internships for students. We have more and more partners from southeastern Wisconsin participating in our internship fair to recruit interns, our career fair. We host a number of opportunities for business and industry and the nonprofit community to let us know what their needs are. And I would say some of the work around our curriculum and our curricular innovation comes from the conversations that we have with business and industry and saying, you know, we see some gaps here, and how can you help us to meet and really address those gaps or those opportunities? This is something on the horizon, and how can you help us there?
And one, just to kind of tie into that a little bit, because I brought some statistics with, so I get to toss some statistics out. But when we were working on our convocation, which took place on Wednesday, very interested to find out that UW Parkside teacher education majors and those who are intending to become majors spent more than 11,000 hours in area classrooms the last year. And
wow.
And I think, well, the new program at one of the things about the new education program at Parkside is it gets students into the classroom much more quickly than in the past, and that getting students into the classroom to work with teachers in the area has shown across the country to help students be more successful. So it's not a business connection, but it's a very important community connection in what's going on with teacher education.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. The fourth is operational excellence. And in some respects, this was my favorite because it seems to me that that this is an aspect that is sometimes neglected. I don't mean specifically at Parkside or specifically in the UW system, but in general, this probably gets at certain matters that are really important to the experience of students, but something that absent-minded professors, for one, don't always think about.
Well, and I would say that the first three goals are more externally focused and how we are living our mission across the UW and certainly at the campuses. This one is more inwardly focused, and what are the things that we need to do to have the systems, policies, and procedures in place that allow us to do the important work of education. And then certainly the focus on excellence here is critical. And at UW Parkside, we're continue to be excellent stewards of the resources that we have. And a few things we've already done in this regard is some energy conservation opportunities. The Wiley Project is part of operational excellence. If the building functions better, we can provide better experiences for our students, faculty, staff, and alumni in the community. And one of the aspects of this one that's really important to me as chancellor is making sure that we can create and have competitive compensation for our faculty and staff at the university. And that's been a challenge for us over the past few years, and something we're very focused on and have the support of the regents and the system to be able to address that.
So now, is there work to be done in terms of Parkside figuring out the way in which it lives out this overall mission statement for the overall system?
Absolutely. And what we'll be doing this fall is we will be looking at the UW 2020 forward and aligning it to our strategic plan and our academic plan at our institution. And we believe they fit really seamlessly. And these broad goals, these big ideas align with our focus at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside.
Mm-hmm. In the minute or two or so that remains, I wonder if you want to share a thought or two about someone who I hope is looking down with great pride at what we've been talking about. Your predecessor, Chancellor Jack Keating, who, of course, passed away a little earlier this year. I appreciate the fact that for as mindful of the future as you are, You are also very mindful of the good work that has gone on before you, and I know that you have only the highest regard for what Jack Keating did for Parkside and its students.
Absolutely, and Chancellor Keating is one of the giants of UW-Parkside, and I have the opportunity to stand on those shoulders. Mm-hmm. Chancellor Keating served 10 years at our university and really did excellent work in advancing community engagement. He was one of the founders of Wisconsin Campus Compact. He was also created the Center for Community Partnerships, mm-hmm. and under his leadership, we also created the Ralph Jaske Solutions for Economic Growth Center. Because as the founders of UW-Parkside almost 50 years ago wanted the community to be fully engaged with the university. The university is part of the community. The community is part of the university. Jack truly lived that in his work at UW-Parkside. And I had the opportunity to meet Jack actually before I started at UW-Parkside. We served on a panel together. Oh. I believe it was in 2007 for the NCAA. And so we certainly remember Jack's legacy and appreciate all that he did for UW-Parkside.
Very well said. Chancellor Deborah Ford, it's always a pleasure to have you here on The Morning Show, and it is so good to hear about all the exciting things that are afoot for UW-Parkside and for its student body. And John Mielke, Director of Strategic Communications, great to have you here as well, and thank you again for all that you do to help facilitate all of the interesting people from Parkside that we get to talk to on The Morning Show. Very best wishes to both of you and to the Parkside student body and faculty and staff as this new year begins.
Great. Thank you very much, Greg.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. I'm Gregory Berg. There'll be no morning show on Monday because of Labor Day, but then we have a very interesting array of conversations coming up after that. On Tuesday's morning show, I will be playing an interview with Carla Mantilla, who is responsible for a fascinating new book called Gender Trolling, How Misogyny Went Viral. She examines the really disturbing preponderance of virulent and persistent online harassment of women. Such as was seen with actress Leslie Jones in recent months. But it happens on a widespread level, and her book is a very disturbing but important examination of that. On Wednesday, Katie Otzval joins us, the executive director of the Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services. On Thursday, we celebrate an important anniversary, at least an important anniversary for those of us who love Star Trek, the original series. Thursday, the 8th, marks the 50th anniversary of its debut on NBC, and I get to speak with Dorothy Fontana, who was on the ground floor, who helped to shape and create Star Trek, and wrote